Good morning. So good to see all of my loved ones here this morning. What a blessing and joy it is for me to come on Sunday mornings and see each of you and talk with you and interact with you, get hugs from you. It's just such a blessing. That's why I look so forward to Sunday mornings. And yes, I look forward to preaching the word, but I look forward to seeing each and every one of you and being with you. And as each of you know, that's what makes our church special, is we enjoy seeing each other and we want to be with each other. All right, let's take a look. We're going to be looking at verses 20 through 23 of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. So John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. I'll start reading in verse 20 here. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you had given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Wow. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. We thank you for this morning so that we can look into your word and be blessed by you and what you tell us and about you. We thank you for this morning because of the songs that we have sung and the lifting up our voices in praise to you. We thank you, Father, for loving us this much, as we're going to see in this small section of the chapter 17. Oh Lord, let us be ready to hear what you are calling us to this morning. Let us be ready to see it, to hear it, and to receive it. And Lord, in such an important passage, I pray that you would only let the words that you would have spoken come out of my mouth this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, so we see that Jesus is continuing his high priestly prayer, and that they are on either still in the probably on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, or already in it. Well, they couldn't be in the Garden of Gethsemane because we read in the beginning of chapter 18 that they are crossing the brook Kidron after Jesus finishes his high priestly prayer. So they're probably still in the room where Jesus had started the Lord's Supper while he's speaking this high priestly prayer. The reason it's called the high priestly prayer is because he's interceding on behalf of all of us, just like a high priest would intercede for the people on the Day of Atonement at the temple in Jerusalem. And so he continues this interceding for us by saying, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. It's like, okay, I'm struggling to really know how to emphasize how important and big this verse is, number 20. Because as you read the high priestly prayer starting in chapter 1 of verse 17, you go through, he keeps talking about his disciples. And in his context, you think he's talking about those that are right there with him, those disciples. And so in a sense, when we think of it that way, it's like, well, that's great for them, but it doesn't apply to us. And now we get to verse 20. And he says, I do not ask for these only, meaning I do not ask only for those who are here hearing my voice, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me. That's us. He's now saying that everything he's been praying about from verse 1 through 19, He's not just saying it for those people there listening to him, but he's also asking it to the Father for you and me here today. And throughout church history, every believer who's ever put their faith in Christ, he's asking this prayer, this high priestly prayer, this stunning prayer of oneness with him and the Father. Us, him, and the Father in one. That's what he keeps praying for. And now he's making it explicit that you and I are the ones he's praying for to receive this. Wow. I just like, wow. I don't know what else to say. That's why I'm struggling with how to emphasize how important this verse is. Is all I can keep saying is wow. He's praying for us. Jesus, for every believer who's ever has been, every believer who is today, and every believer who will be in the future, he's praying for them to be one with the Father. I talked about the amazement of that last week, of just being one with the Father. Wow. And now here it is again. Look at verse 21. So that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Okay, so that they, meaning referencing those who he had just identified, which is us, those who believe in me through their word, so that you and me may also be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, that they may all, don't miss that word all, that they may all be one. Guess what? All includes you and me. All. That all of us may be one. Not just one in the way we fellowship together, not just that, but one with the Father and with Christ Jesus. It's like we get to be a part of the Trinity for just a few minutes at times. When we really step back and enter into an intense period of or moment of seeking the Father's face and in intimate fellowship with him, we get to be one with the Trinity for just a few minutes. It may not feel like this phenomenal, overwhelming experience, but we're one. That's why the image of marriage is so important for the Christian faith. The husband and wife become one, is what Genesis tells us. And it is a reflection of the imagery of us and Christ Jesus and God the Father being one with them. In that same way that marriage reflects the oneness of the husband and the wife, so it also reflects the oneness as an image of what we are with Christ Jesus and God the Father. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I hear myself say that, I'm like, whoa, that's intense. It's the kind of intense that's just a little bit scary, right? I do not fear the Father, nor do I fear Jesus. But this idea of being one with them, whew, that's just a wee bit scary. However, we can let our fear ebb away like the tide ebbing out from the coast. And the reason we can let our fear ebb away like this is because our Father is good. Our Christ Jesus is good. And because they are good, their desire for us to become one with them is good. And the actual act of becoming one with them and us being one with them is good. It's good. It's good to them and it's good for us. And the glory that you gave me, verse 22, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. So now, at Passover time, Jews who observe Passover have a song that they sing during the course of Passover called Danada. It is enough. If Jesus had just given us himself and we could be one with him, that would be enough. It would be enough. But he goes even farther by including the Father. Just as he is one with the Father, we get to be one with the Father because we are one in Christ. So if being one with the Father and being one with Christ, if he just did that, it would be enough. But he does more. He gives us the same glory that the Father gave him while he was here. He gives us his glory. So that, look at the purpose of it, right? The purpose right there. That they, purpose clause, may be one even as we are one. He gives us his glory so that we can continue. And another factor, another locked in, bolted down part of being one with the Father by giving us his glory so that we may be one with him, with Christ Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with each other. One big, giant, single entity. Now, I know some people can go, wait a minute. If I'm part of one big, giant entity, I lose my individuality. Yes. That's right. We're supposed to. Now, we don't lose our individuality completely. And one of the reasons we don't lose our individuality completely is because the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gives us individual gifts, spiritual gifts, so that we may serve this whole entity to bring more glory to God the Father and to himself, Jesus. We have gifts so that we may bless one another among us. That's how we retain our individuality while being a part of this single entity called us, God, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And it's beautiful. I get to see it on Sundays when we're here, watching all of you. I get to feel it and sense it when I'm standing up here praying or preaching. I get to see it how each of you care for each other during the week through the text messages. It's just a beautiful thing to watch this entity called the body of Christ care for each other, while at the same time loving Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. It's not why we exist, but it is why we exist. Because all this glory that's going around and surrounding us as the body of Christ, it's showing the world what can be if they put their faith in Christ and join the body of Christ. It's showing them what they can have I mean, Jesus then said it there in this verse 23, that I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Wow. That he loves us as much as he loves Jesus. That's just mind-blowing. I don't even know how to comprehend. I can't begin to comprehend this whole idea that God the Father loves us even as he loved Christ Jesus. Just, I can't. Because Jesus is so much greater than us. That's the reason I can't begin to comprehend it. And that he loves us as much as he loved Jesus. It's like, wow. I mean, I don't know about you, but can you imagine how big that love is? It's so big that our sins are as far from us as the east is from the west because of his love for us. It is so big that there's no place we can go where he is not there with us. And what we as humanly speaking have the darkest places on earth, he is there with us. Because there's no place we can go that he's not there with us in our joys, in our delights, in our happiness, he is there with us, celebrating with us. Matt, can you imagine that? God the Father and God the Son are with us in our joyful moments, celebrating with us what we're so joyful for. You know, as I say these words, I think immediately about my grandchildren and going to visit them, the way they come running out of the house and across the driveway, yelling Amy and I's grandparent names. I'm granddaddy and she's grandmom. Yelling our names and just moving as quickly as they can and big old hugs. What joyful moment that is. And in that middle of that celebration, the Father is there with us, loving us. And likewise, when it's time to leave and we have to tell them goodbye, in those moments of sadness, he is also there with me, loving me, showing me the way to walk. What a good, good, good God we have. What a good, good Father we have. What a good, good Savior we have. While being a Christian is no bed of roses, because we all go through struggles and difficulties of being in this fallen world, life is good for us. Even if you're in the middle of something very hard to go through, we have a good life. We have a good life because we have a Savior who cares for us and watches over us and has shed his own blood and by his blood bought us so that we are fully his. And we have a good life because we know where we are going at the end of all these troubles. That one day, when death's dew shall fall upon our brow, as Wesley wrote, we will go and be with our Heavenly Father, and all the cares of this world will just melt away. We know we have a good life because of that. Until that time occurs, we can be confident in knowing that we walk nowhere without him, that there's no place we can go without him, that he won't be there with us, and that he brings us to these difficult places as well as he brings us to these places of joy for his purposes and for our good. I like to avoid using myself as an example as often as I can and try not to, but yesterday, a couple of weeks ago, our microwave and our dishwasher went out at the same time. So we had to go buy two new appliances. And of course, there was this long waiting period to get them delivered and installed. So yesterday was our day. I'm sitting there, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to open the door for these guys when they come here, and I'm going to get out of the way. Well, the Lord had other plans for our dishwasher going out and being replaced. One of the installers, the one who has spent most of the time in the house installing the dishwasher, he and I got into a spiritual conversation, and I began to encourage him about reading the Word. He described himself as a believer in Jesus. He even went so far as to say that Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, that he believes in Yeshua, but he's not Jewish. Trust me, this guy is not Jewish. And Carlos and I began talking about the importance of him reading the Word because he admitted to me that he doesn't read the Bible very often. And so I'm trying to encourage him to read the Word, and that was what the Lord's purpose was. Our dishwasher went out, and we encouraged, experienced all the difficulties of having a dishwasher go out and waiting for it to be delivered so that I could speak truth and hope and encouragement and admonition into Carlos' life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for broken dishwashers. I'm almost asking for the refrigerator to go out. Amy's not in agreement with that prayer.
Send him a card.
We have a good God, a good Father, a good Savior. And then looking more closely at verse 23, I in them and you in me. Jesus in us. It isn't just, here we go, this is what I'm talking about all of us and all of them. He says here, I am in them and you in me. It's not just that we get to become one with the Father. Jesus himself is asking for the Father to make us one with him. And look, we're not just supposed to be a regular old one. He says that they may become perfectly one, so that we may become perfectly one with each other, with Jesus, and with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And all of this just so that the world will know that God sent Jesus and loves us is just as God the Father loved Jesus. What amazing words. What amazing grace that he has given to us to be one with him, one with Jesus, and one with each other. Let us fulfill the wishes of our Father and our Savior by being one. O Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory. We give you praise and we give you glory because you are so good. You have caused us to become one with you, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and with each other. What a gloriously beautiful gift, Father. Thank you so much for it. And Lord, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would build us up in ways that I don't even know how to articulate, that you would build us up so that our oneness would be even more beautiful, more full, more complete than what we understand today about our oneness with each other, with you, and with Jesus. And we ask it because we know that you want to do good things for us, and this is a good thing to ask for. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.